Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 268 for June 22nd, 2020. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time. My name is David Kosmetter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today we are going to be talking about the S&P 500 and what we expect to happen in the markets this week. So today I have arranged for Melissa Armo to join us, and Jim, the option professor, is back to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jim.
Great. Okay, thanks. And thanks, everybody, for hanging in with us with our little technical difficulties, but we're ready to roll. With us today, of course, Melissa Armo of StockSwoosh.com. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Good. For the people who are not familiar with yourself and your company, I think it's a great time right now to just do a short introduction and also a little bit of introduction onto StockSwoosh.com.
Yeah, good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, actually. I live in New York, and I teach people how to trade gaps, and I myself trade gaps in the market, and so I started out back in 2008. So I've been trading for a little over 12 years, and I just strictly do gaps. So I also appear on national television and radio, and I talk about the markets, and it's been an interesting time, needless to say, for 2020, not just for the stock market, but also as a New Yorker. So we'll be interested to see what happens the rest of 2020.
Absolutely. And could you just go over again, what is it, a market you're trading or a system?
Well, I trade gap. So a gap.
Oh, gap. Oh, I didn't get that. You're talking about gaps on the chart. I didn't hear. I thought you said the DAX, and I said, whoa, she really concentrates on Germany. I wonder what that's all about.
No, gaps like GAP, like G is in Georgia,
gotcha.
A is in Apple.
You could see why if it was DAX, it would be a little bit odd, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's start out here and figure out what's going on. There's some standard questions we ask on Mondays. I'm going to shoot a couple by you right now. First one is, we opened up on the S&P at 3094, and basically between now and Friday, do you have any kind of an opinion on where you think we might end up?
Well, right now today we gapped down, and just looking at the overall market, when you look at, I take it into last week since we opened lower this morning from Friday, the market traded in a tight range all of last week, very similar to the range that we traded that week of May 19th. I don't know if you remember that week. It was a tough week as far as getting any momentum going in any of the market indices. You had to be very specific with your stock picks, and I think this week is going to be very similar to that. So I think the market could break out of the range this week, or it could stay in this range for a couple more days. Don't forget, we're going into a holiday week next week. And so without some big move, either up or down, people are probably going to get trapped this week. Because again, if you tried to go long or you tried to short, if you don't have really any big moves in the market, it's very difficult to make money. So my suggestion for people is to be extremely careful all this week based on the tight range that we traded in last week.
I got you. So you'd say your opinion between now and Friday would be that it's going to be choppy with an upward bias, or choppy with a downward bias, or no bias, just choppy?
I would say choppy, volatile. However, if I had to pick a direction that we'd be, I would say that we're lower this week. We really did trade lower from the start of last week through the close, and we opened lower this morning. Even though we rallied slightly here today, I think that we have somewhat of a sell-off coming. I don't think the buy is going to make brand new all-time highs between now and the end of the year 2020. I would be very shocked if that happened.
I get you. So you think a little bit that we're running out of gasoline up here. We've used up a lot of the enthusiasm.
Well, I mean, there's no reason really for the market to continue higher at this point.
Right.
You have earnings season is pretty much over. So you don't have the next earnings season, third quarter starting until about the second, third week of July. Really, third week of July is when we get busy. So what's going to move the market? Unless there's some vaccine that comes out or some kind of incredible good news that would create some big lift in the market and more buying, I think the market's going to be extremely sideways and choppy and volatile for the summer. Could we break out of the range and have some days where it's very playable? Like there was a day it was 2 weeks ago. That was a wonderful day. It was a gap down in the market, sold off. You could have shorted virtually anything and made money. But other than that, there's really not been that many days to play strictly the market in the last 2 weeks.
With regard to a lot of times in history, people would say what gaps up goes up, what gaps down goes down. The only time that would be problematic is obviously if you're in a trading range, because sometimes the gaps won't follow through. And obviously, that could be a problem, right?
Well, that's what's happening right now here today. Like Like, we gapped down, we sold off, we did break down lower initially this morning, and now we're flipping. So this is what happens. It traps people. And what happens is between 4 o'clock, when the stock of the market closes, let's say this buy, we're talking about the buy, when it closes at 4 and the next day at 9:30, gaps are created in post-market and pre-market selling and buying. And so what happens is in a choppy environment, in a volatile environment, people get trapped. So for example, say you have people that are going along here today. Let's just say we close green today. I don't know if we're gonna, but say we do. If people go long here thinking that we are gonna have follow-through, that we are gonna continue higher over last week area of resistance, and if we end up opening lower tomorrow, that's where the people are trapped, because then they get up tomorrow and guess what? They are down, and then they sell the negative position that they're in.
Right, and that could feed on itself to the downside.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
With regards to your confidence level, do you have a pretty high confidence level that we are going to be kind of range bound this summer?
Oh, I definitely think we're going to be range bound this summer, but I think there will be particular days that we have nice trades, like that day last week on May 11th. There were other days. There were some good days to go long back in May and early June. So I think no piggy target in the market on any specific lay. Be very realistic and very, I use a system. I qualify the gap. So I'm looking for really, really, really good gap if I'm going to play them. Otherwise, I say stay away from the market this summer and focus on specific stock picks if you're going to do something, because I think we're going to be choppy range bound this summer. And I think that we're not going to make a new high in this buy at all in 2020. So then you say, well, what's the range? Well, the range could be pretty big. We had a tight range last week. We had a tight range that week of the 19th and the 18th, 19th in May. But the range could extend all the way down to the March lows to all the way up from the early June highs, which was 323.41. Or the range could be smaller, but still pretty wide. Like it could be around 310 down to 270. Well, there's some room to play and make money on days in there if that's even the range, if it's a smaller range than the March lows or the highs back in June. But it's still the idea that if you're in a trade and you're in a day trade and you don't get the momentum in your direction before 4, you're going to lose. Or if you're in an option trade and you take an option out for 1 week, 2 weeks, or again, if it's even longer and it doesn't get there in time, then you're still having a problem. You have to be in things that move. And right now, like even today, we're green, but I would consider this a very a non-playable day here right now at this point, because we're trading such a small, tiny bar.
It's kind of an inside day.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Are you using, the other question we always ask is what are the things behind the curtain as far as what you're looking at that makes you make a decision that A, it might go up or down, or B, it might be in a trading range, or the things that are behind your thought process? Is it technical only, or are you looking at the GDP report? Are you looking at everything? Or
no, I don't look at fundamentals at all. I have no idea what the fundamentals are. And really, if you looked at the fundamentals, if you look at the fundamentals, the underlying fundamentals, they really haven't matched up. The economy hasn't matched up exactly with the way the market traded. I was surprised at the rally that we had all of April, all of May, and even up until June. And the QQQs did make brand new all-time highs. That one in the did. The SPY didn't, the Dow didn't, and Boeing's been a drag on the Dow. But the reality is that, no, it hasn't matched up. There's still 22 million people unemployed and out of work. I don't think all those jobs are coming back. And even though we had a good retail number last week, like home sales came out this morning, they were on the low side. I talk about fundamentals on television. I'm aware of what's happening, but I don't make trading decisions based on that because the economy doesn't always line up neck and neck with the market. The thing is, right now, the market is a good investment for wealthy people because of the fact that they can make more money by investing in stocks that are moving. If you have your money in a certificate of deposit, a savings account right now, you're earning 1% or less. You can open up a CD and for 5 years have your money tied up and earn like 1.1%, which is absolutely as ridiculous. So people are investing in the market and putting money in the market, even though the economy's been in a spiral downtrend in 2020, simply because they want to take the money they have and use it and make more.
Now, the sectors of tech and semiconductors and healthcare, obviously, and consumer discretionary, these are some of the better sectors. They seem to have jumped above all their long-term averages and are, obviously getting a lot of cash flow. Is there any sectors that you particularly like, one or the other, or, how are you playing different sectors?
Again, I look at it as stock specific because they're like, even you could say big tech, but then there's some stocks in that sector that I'm not crazy about. Right. In fact, I haven't pulled up Netflix today. Netflix has been one that's been dragging in that one sector. So I can't even say the whole sector. I do like Amazon. Amazon is rallying today. Amazon looks like it's going to make a brand new all-time high. Amazon's over 2,700. Apple is going to 360. If it didn't get there yet, it's close. It looks Apple looks like it's going to get to 360 sooner rather than later. And that's overweighted in the QQQs. And again, which is one of the reasons why that made brand new all-time highs and Apple made brand new all-time that high, but I'm not in love with any one specific sector. I think it really individual stocks still even driven. And home builders are a sector that's been in a downtrend. Anything to do with travel industry has been in a downtrend, like Carnival Cruise Lines, travel, Boeing, even though Boeing had a rally back, that stock is still in a downtrend. And retail, so much retail has been hit hard. You have the Walmart, you have the Targets, you have the Amazons of the world that still kept going even through the pandemic. And again, Amazon looks like it's going to make another brand new all-time high. But I still think people have to be careful about what they're investing in. You can't just be broad spectrum about all across the sector. I just don't think that's the right to do in these times. People have to be really, 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 really careful about what they invest in. Like, there are so many people that are wanting to scoop up and buy some of these stocks and some of these companies that have been had a tremendous sell-off, and I think that they're getting a bargain. Some of these things aren't going to make it. Some of these companies are going to consolidate or are lower or may go bankrupt. I'm not a proponent of buying dips and things like that, but I do think some of the downturns and some of these things are not over.
Yeah, you're thinking like Avis that had a big rally and now has rolled over. Their problems are going to come to the surface and they may have a hard time recouping, or something like Nordstrom's had another big rally, then a big drop off. So you're thinking that epicenter rally may have seen its course, and then the reality of their problems are now going to come up?
Well, the reality of the problems are coming up, because even though certain states are opening in certain phases, everyone's in a different phase, and that whole process is convoluted if you ask me. But, you know, not everybody still wants to go out and shop and go out. It's really not comfortable to go out, like in New York, it's 80-some degrees to go out and shop around with a mask. That isn't fun. And right now, 5th Avenue, 6th Avenue, 7th Avenue, Broadway in Midtown New York, it's like a hellhole. There's no way people are going to go out shopping even if those stores open up. There's bums on the streets. There's gangs out. There's rugs. There's protests and rallies every day. There's been looting. Stores are boarded up. It looks like a war zone. And that's happening in many cities. Seattle, Los Angeles, Atlanta. It's all across the board right now. So these stores are not going to see the recovery, I don't think, till maybe the holiday season. And that's a long way away. And some of them won't be able to make it that long.
Yeah, Nordstrom
didn't want to go out shopping.
Yeah, didn't Nordstrom make a big store in Manhattan right before?
Nordstrom did, but Neiman Marcus was the big anchor. Nordstrom is a store, but it's not the same size as Neiman's. Neiman's invested a lot of money in March of 2019 it opened up. I was at the grand opening. Fabulous store. Never even got to shop there. I was so busy last year, and then it closed. I went to the grand opening. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, but many of the shops at Hudson Yards are boutique shops. So there's talk that Neiman Marcus may make it out of that lease. If Neiman Marcus leases the anchor for Hudson Yards, an entire real estate complex and the whole idea behind it is not going to be the same, because people aren't going to go and shop at Chanel at Hudson Yards. They will go to Fifth Avenue once it reopens and get going. So Neiman Marcus declared bankruptcy and they are trying to hang on. And some stores, I think, even did reopen across the board at Neiman, or they have pickup for delivery, but they have been hit really badly, and they had a huge investment in New York, and then obviously this hit a year later. But Nordstrom did open a new store. That was last year, but the face was not as large of a face. And I don't think Nordstrom has the same financial difficulties as Neiman has.
Do you think that the household ownership of stocks, which was up at the high area, close to 57% at the end of last year, which obviously dropped off dramatically in March, you think that's somewhat of an underpinning to any dip in stocks, because those people may want to re-engage, or what do you think?
Well, we sold off so big from that period and so quick that people that wanted to sell, they got out. And obviously it depends where you are in your life. If you were invested in a 401k or if you were near retirement, that you didn't know what was going to happen and you may have sold. If you're someone that's young or over the age of 50, 55, you got to sit down with a financial advisor during this period now where we've rallied back and say, what am I going to do if it drops again? If we do go back to March lows, if we do break March lows, people need to get a plan of action together now, not waiting until it happens, because then they make bad choices and make bad decisions and they panic. I think if you're invested in the market for the long term, that the market will make new highs again at some point, but I don't know when that is. And you can't forget, this is an election year. And no one's talking about the election because of COVID, but the fact is that there is an election coming up in a few months, less than 6 months away. And depending on who wins that election also will have a lot to do with the economy. Because one of the reasons that the market is rallying is because a lot of the policies that the Trump administration put in place. And that helped some of these companies, like the tax cut. So that's why people had huge, massive gains. It's not like the gains aren't going to come back. But again, I don't think we're going to see some of those gains go back to right where they at in 2020. But on average, people still have made money. They still have made money. And if people wade through those March lows and didn't sell out and panic, we're back up. We've had a nice rally. But people should not think that the volatility is over. That would be the wrong way to think. And people should not wait the the last minute decide what to do if we do sell off again. The benefit of being an active trader is that you can short and you can go long and you can take advantage of all those moves. If you're invested just as a long-term swing trader, a long-term investment, then that's when the market becomes scary. But you have fun to think about it. We've had a good rally back. Again, I'm surprised how big the rally back is. But, you know, there was talk that there was going to be a vaccine out soon and this, that, and the other thing. I don't think there's going to be a vaccine until 2021. And I think until there is, people aren't going to feel the level of safety to go out like they did before COVID.
Do you think you have a regional bias? Because obviously being in the epicenter and seeing all the businesses and restaurants that, and there's thousands of them that used to be open, having been closed, do you think you being in the city maybe made you a little bit more bearish, not realizing the magnitude of the rest of the country may be under different circumstances?
Well, I know the other rest of the country is under different circumstances. That's part of the frustration that people are having. I'm from Pennsylvania. They're still closed and that's ridiculous. They haven't had that many cases. So, I mean, and then there are other states that reopened and now they're starting to see a spike in cases. That may not necessarily be driven by anything other than testing. I don't think the rest of the country should be closed. I don't think New York should be closed anymore. Once the protest started several weeks ago, they should have opened up the entire country and done away with the phases. You can't have people be unemployed for 3-4 months. You can't have all these businesses be out of business for all the time. It's not just in New York. If you have a nail salon in Scottsdale, Arizona, and you're closed for 3 months, how are you going to pay the rent? How are you going to pay the lease? And then how's the person that owns the mortgage on that property? There is one, the landlord. Yeah. How are they going to pay their mortgage? It's a trickle-down effect. It's not just a little guy. It's everybody along the way. And as a consumer, I also don't want to see businesses go under that I like to shop at. I like to shop at Neiman Marcus. I want to go there. I like to shop at Nordstrom. I want to go to the nail salon across the street. I don't want them to go under. So if New York is a good barometer, though, as far as looking at, personally, I think what's going to happen with real estate and the overall larger businesses. If larger businesses feel like they can get away with not having employees come into the office space, this isn't just in New York, this is other places. If people can work from home, they're not going to be running office space. They're not going to have people working in the office. This is going to be a change in the way things are done. And that will affect businesses. Like, again, if you have a big building, if you're a property manager, if you have a large building and all of a sudden now, instead of needing 10 floors, you only need 5. Well, then what happens then? You know, so it's the whole way that people are going to be doing business is going to change. And many of these big companies in New York have already told their employees they don't need to come back until January 2021. I mean, that's a lot to say that. It's only June. So that's 6 months away. They're already telling people they don't have to come back. But it's right. But it's everywhere. People are working from home.
No, and the convention business over at Javits is all but gone. And that's a big problem in Las Vegas and other places that are heavy for conventions, huh?
Yeah, New York has really been hit hard. New York's not going to come back, I don't think, for a long time. And people underestimate that. But New York, again, New York is a good example of what happens in a smaller level, though, in other cities. Say you work from home. Well, if you work from home, you're not going out for business lunches. You're not going out and using gas. You're not driving your car. You're not out. You're not, you're not out and about in the world, which is what's happening all across the board, not just in New York. But getting back to what I was saying about real estate, I think real estate in New York is going to tank. And that will affect real estate across the board. And it could happen in LA, too. And you're going to
Do you think it'll be great? They said it was down about 10% pre-COVID, and they think another 15% because of COVID. So from peak 2016, they were looking for NYC real estate to maybe drop 25%. Do you think it would be more?
It's really hard to tell what the percentage will be, but I know that it's going to continue going down. And the problem is a lot of these landlords and a lot of real estate owners, like, they haven't made the move yet because people still have been kind of hunkered down. Like, if you had a lease or you owned an apartment, you may not have even decided to move or leave or put it up for sale yet. But once things start to open up, people are going to make decisions about that. And then that's what's going to affect your overall market. These things always take time. Nothing happens right away. What happened with COVID really, it took time too. From the time that COVID, the outbreak started in China, which was late 2019, until it got hit here in 2020, that took time. And I was aware of it. I knew about it. I knew it was in China. We were talking about it on Fox. But the fact is that I never thought that the entire country would be shut down. And if I had known that it was going to hit here, what would I have done? You know, ran out and bought 1,000 roll toilet paper. I mean, what can you do? You know, I mean, there's sometimes no way to prepare for these things.
Right. Now, on the other side of the coin, how much problems do you have with the idea that the underinvestment in the stock market by many people, plus the consumer possibly having a lot of pent-up demand, and then the company's earnings surprise, because with less people and less real estate, like you outlined, they could actually make a decent earnings situation out of it with less revenue. And that's, of course, what is feeding seeing this thing as well and has some people saying we may even see new highs in July.
And what, the SPY?
No, I'm just talking about in stocks in general. You know, earnings is going to obviously be a big situation. And people say mm-hmm. that you could be very surprised at earnings because they don't have to pay the people, because they're not going to have the real estate.
Yeah. Some you probably will. Like, I mean, I think it's surprising, to be honest with you, that Apple is back up making new highs.
Right.
I mean, because really, I don't know if even right now all their stores are open or closed. I know they're not open in New York, so they're not all open yet. But I think there is somewhat of a pent-up demand for people that want to go out and spend money and shop at some of the places because people are getting cabin fever. But at the end of the day, if people aren't earning the same wages and the same income, or if they're concerned about their future, then they're still, if they go out, are not going to spend as much. People have been home and they were worried for a period there about COVID and the market selling off. And again, what creates selling is panic, whether it's in specific stocks or the overall market, it's panic. Right. So if you would see a sell-off back down to the market lows, I guarantee you will see panic, big panic. That will affect consumer buying and will affect people going out. It will affect people then wanting to sell out that did not sell out in earlier in the year. And then you could have a possibility that those March lows are broken because selling begets selling. And again, panic begets panic, and that's it. And God forbid we have a second wave. I really hope that doesn't happen because the country can't shut down again. But if something like that would happen, that would be terrible.
Now, the VIX is in the 30s. And obviously, my feeling is whenever it's in the 30s, you run the risk of it going up to 40 or 50 because of an event. So do you you see the VIX as 30 or up being a situation where it adds credence to the potential that a selling event could occur because it's already in an elevated state?
Well, it's definitely in a watch point, but I personally don't play the VIX. And there was a point back, I don't remember if you remember this, this was right when everything was happening, like in March. The market was being halted a lot of days. They stopped allowing people to trade the VIX at many, many brokerage houses.
Right.
I don't trade it. I think it's wild. It's in a range. You could watch it. If you really use it as an indicator, it's at a point where you could start watching it like a hawk at this number. But personally, I don't trade that. I prefer to trade stock. But, you know, there are certain things, though, that sometimes by the time it comes out, as if you want to talk about it as an indicator, it's like too late. For example, like if something could be at one number today and then skyrocket the next thing. And that's really what happened back in March. And that's what happened with that and why then they were not allowing people to trade it because it was too risky.
Yeah, you might use a VIX as, you know, I'll be negative on the market as long as it's above 30. If it gets under 30, I'll reverse my positions, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into what you're doing, actually, because I got some, you know, I've been in it a long time, so I understand a little bit what you're talking about, but let's get a little bit behind the curtain. You know, are let's talk about time frame. Do you tend to work on a daily time frame, a swing time frame? You know, what's your time frame when you're doing your trades?
I look at the gap in the daily time frame. I always look at the daily as the main one. But as far as day trades to get in and out for miniature moves, 5 and 10 minute, 30 minute moves, I do trade on the 1 minute chart, but I make my decisions on the daily chart. So the daily chart is the most important chart. And if you only had one chart to trade with, that would be the one. In fact, I could trade on the daily chart and nothing else and get all my targets and everything off that. But I do like the 1 minute because when you're trading and you want to get in and out of sometimes things in 5, 10, 15 minutes, it makes it a lot easier as far as taking position sizes and putting in a stop. Because I use hard stop to day trade. Like if I get stopped out, it goes over in a certain number. I don't just let trade go wherever they want. I have that risk amount. I put in a stop and it's easier to do that on the 1 minute. But as far as making decisions, as far as directional bias, I look at the daily and that's where I'm seeing things like, you know, the market that I don't think is going to make a new high this year in the SPY. And then also just looking at Apple and seeing that Apple's just going to go right to that 216 number, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Now, with regards to the daily, obviously you're trying to get a better idea of what a more of a powerful move might be. And then on the 1 minute, you're trying to keep things on a short leash. So, because obviously risk management has got to be a very big part of your trading, right?
Exactly. And this should be a big part of any trader's trading. I don't care I don't care if you're risking, you know, $25,000 a trade or $250 a trade. Risk management is part of it. If you take 10 trades and lose it two, and you have 8 winners, those two losers could wipe out all of your gain for the 8 winners if your risk is upside down. You can't have a different risk in every trade. You have to have close to equal as you can in every trade that you take. That's the only reason you can really have any kind of consistency trading.
With regards to, you said stock and option you use. Can you give an idea of, you know, how often do you use options or how often you just use stocks? I mean, is there any kind of a general format that you're working with?
Well, I'm looking looking at both every day, but I may not call an option every day. But then some days I might call five options and I might only do one day trade. So it really depends on how many gaps we get. Like today, for example, we shorted DVL. It gapped down and I also called a put in that as well. You could still be in the put. I think that DVL is lower. Again, that stock has been selling off and it looks nice. And that gapped down today with the market. But I do think that DVL is on its own. Like right now, the market green, DVL is red. So that's a good sign of the weakness in that chart. So I might have, I usually do options in a wave. I might not do anything for 3 days. And then one day I might do five. And so the benefit of doing options is you can capture the overnight moves with and still have a fixed risk. But the day trades have to go and you have to be out of them by 4 o'clock. And luckily DVL did go today. It had a nice move. The target was 1650. It dropped down and actually it still looks lower here this afternoon.
I gotcha. And like on an Apple, it opened at 351. Do you ever do something like where you buy Apple and you buy it at 351 and it goes to 356 and you're up $5 and you take the $5 gain and then turn it into a call and now you got a free look at the call?
No, I don't do it like that. Like each thing I look at individually. Like a day trade is a day trade, an option trade is an options trade. And I hold the options longer than I hold the day trades. I did call an option calls last week. So they were down on Friday when Apple sold off, but now rallying today. And when you're doing an option, if you're trying to get a larger move, then you will have to suffer through the up and down and the wiggles and the jiggles because not everything goes immediately. Sometimes it does. Like Apple could have theoretically gone where it is today. It could have been Friday. But when the market sold off on Friday, Apple wasn't going to go anywhere up.
How do you feel about the market shrugging off things pretty quickly? I mean, just Friday, Apple was saying they're closing stores and everyone was very nervous. And, you know, we just had another 1.5 million unemployment report. I mean, the market just seems to be shrugging off things in a very quick fashion. Is it telling us anything the way they shrug off all this relatively bad news?
The market is shrugging off everything except for the market isn't going to shrug off the China and U.S. tensions. The only danger I really see, but it's a real danger to the market, I'm talking, you know, 6, 12, 24 months out, is U.S.-China escalations of the tariff issues that are going to come up again. If you go back and rewind in time when we had a lot of volatile days back in 2018 and then some of the days in 2019, those were days where there were things that happened in the market in reference to tariff. The market has, for the most part, shrugged off COVID. Like, we opened up lower today because there were higher cases in some of the states, but then, look, we're rallying here. I think, and when the market rallied when we had horrible, horrible unemployment numbers, and we still have horrible unemployment numbers. While the curve may be trending down, that there's less people filing for claims week after week, to me, it is a horrible state of affairs for defending people to be out of work in the country. There is nothing good about it. And yet the market is rallying. But I definitely think that the U.S.-China trade tensions and just the tensions in general with COVID, none of that I don't think is going to come up until after the election. But after the election, that is going to come to a head.
Mm-hmm. Now, with regards to the news over the weekend is obviously that we're getting spikes all around the place, right? So obviously Monday, when people come in, they're going back to those virus stocks like Zoom, like Teladoc, like Peladon. Is that something that you would play, those type stocks? Because they are in rarefied air, but, you know, who's to say rarefied air can't be higher?
I didn't even look at these today. Let me look at them.
PTON and Teladoc, TDOC, and of course, Zoom is ZM.
Zoom gapped up today. You could have gone long it. Zoom has had a nice rally, though. I don't see how you would have, unless you were already long Zoom, I don't see how you would have gotten this here today to top over 250 unless you were already in it. But again, how much more can this go? I personally don't like doing things that don't have a long history. That's not like a rule, but that's like just my personal preference. Right. And when you go back, unless this is just about a 1 year history in the Zoom since it came out, it has had a nice rally. And I'm sure people are going to keep using the Zoom like we talked about because they're going to still keep working from home and Peloton too. But I don't even know if I've ever done Zoom. Now, I don't think I've ever done Zoom in the last year just because I'm not a fan of doing stuff that don't have a long history. It doesn't mean it's not a good buy. It's an enough trend. It made brand new all-time highs today. But even like Peloton hasn't even been out for a year. It doesn't even have a 200-period moving average on it. You know, that's out since last October. That's rally too. But, you know, with earnings season coming up, I would be very, very specific about what I do. It's so hard to do some of these things and to get in them when they've had such big rallies already. Like Zoom, like I didn't see this morning. Would I have gone long it? Probably not. It's had a big move already.
Right. You doing anything with the gaming like DraftKings, which also doesn't have much of a history, but, you know, Penn National or whatever they're called, Penn Gaming?
No, I haven't done any of those, but I do different stuff every day. I mean, I get up in the morning, I just eat with gasoline every morning and decide what I want to do. Today, I thought there were better short moves, and that's why we did the ECL rather than going long, so I didn't look at them. But yeah. No, I haven't done anything with the gaming. You have all kinds of things with that. You got the pot stock. I know people have some favorites in these different particular industries and sectors, but I really don't follow sectors necessarily unless they affect the market. I only look at tech because of the fact that it affects the market, you know.
Do you kind of try to go with the overall trend? Like on tech, you would be more looking for places to buy than sell. And like on Carnival, which we know had a bear market bounce, but clearly, you know, mm-hmm. people are not running down to get on boats. So you obviously were thinking it had a rally and it's going to peter out. Do you kind of go with kind of what the major trends are? Because major trends on all those throwback stocks are still down, you know?
Well, I look at the gap. I look at the gap. I really, really look at the gap. I mean, I'm aware of the trend when I'm looking at the chart to determine what I'm doing, but it's not like I won't short something like Apple or Amazon, even though they're in super strong uptrends. I will short a stock in an uptrend that's strong, and I will go long a stock in a downtrend like DZL, but I haven't been crazy about any of the bullish gaps in DZL. So, I mean, if something tells me otherwise, if it would happen, if they open up next week or something and all the cruise lines would be going out, there might be a big gap up in CDL that I might go long. But today it was a short, so I always look at the gap. I won't look at the reason for the gap. The reason for the gap could be something like you're saying, but things change trends. Things can change trends. If things can change trends, things can continue trends. That's why also people have to be careful. For some reason though, I find that people really love to do this buy the dip thing, and it's just a disaster to me. You can't consistently make money doing that, in my opinion. I've heard so many horror stories as far as being a business owner and then a mentor to teaching people how to trade where they've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars doing things overnight, getting in debt that they think was the greatest trade of their life, like buying a dip and then losing a crap load of money. Mm-hmm. I could see that happening in something like Boeing again, because there's a lot of people that have long that stock that bought it a while ago and they may still be up. But I mean, I would never have bought that. But if you did, you should have been out of it a long time ago.
Now, when you play these gaps, obviously, you know, say gaps up or gaps down, where do you generally try to put your exit point?
I look at targets, and I look at targets on the daily chart, but also just simple money management. I just think it's a good rule of thumb, and I said this earlier about no picky targets. Just set your targets and say 50 to 100%. 50 to 100%. So say you risk $500 in something and it's a day trade, and you're up $250, you can get out. Your time of the day, depending on what it is, you can get out. If you risk $500, you're up $500, that's real money. Yes, some trades go more, and sometimes we're in options, and I'm in an option, and I'm up. I may not be up 50%, it looks good. Maybe I'm up 35%. Then I get up in the morning and then it's up huge. Then it's up like 250%. And that's what happens with overnight. But day trade can go really super duper fast too. Like the day that was back in May or back in June when the market fell 2 weeks ago, that was a big day. That was a big day. Everything went way more than 50%, way more than 100%. So some days you will just have things that just go. You don't have to like think really, really hard about it. Rule of thumb is if you have to think really hard about something, whether or not you should get out when you're up, the chances are you should get out because it's money. If you thought it was so fabulous, you wouldn't even need to think. You'd say, oh my God, this is absolutely fabulous. I'm holding this. And that's how I felt about that day back 2 weeks ago, because I knew everything was going to fall. And we fell into an area of support. We sold off for the one day into support. But after that, again, we had no follow through lower after that.
So when you get in, this obviously is very much of a momentum type of an approach. And
yes,
so if for whatever reason, as you get into it initially, you do have a, well, if this momentum dies quickly, I've got my get out point already set. You're not, you know, you're pretty set on where your target is on the upside, but also if for whatever reason this momentum starts dying on me, I'm cutting and running at this price. You pretty clear on both sides?
Yeah, but it also depends on if it's an option or if it's a day trade, because you have to get out of a day trade by four. And an option, say I took a thing and if I call it out for 2 weeks and it's only the first day, well, you don't have to tell it. You know, you can give it some time, you know.
Yeah, I mean, on an option, you have a predetermined maximum risk. That's the good part about them. But on the ones that don't have it, it's either it's going to work by 4 p.m. or it's on the Alumni Association by 4 p.m.
Putting it
that way. All right. Well, I said, we have some time right now, and I think it would be very helpful if we just allow you, if you have some, to go through some stocks, and David or yourself can put them on the screen, and maybe you could give some idea on what you're thinking on a different stocks you're following.
Well, just I mean, just for the immediate point, like, that, you know, again, just looking at this week, you know, the things that I think, like we were talking about Apple, I think Apple's going to get to that number 360. So Apple's going to get to 360. And in fact, let me look at the high here today. 357.68. So it looks like Apple's going to get to 360 this week. I feel pretty confident about that. Amazon was the other one. Amazon looks like it's breaking out today. I think Amazon is probably going to be along and make brand new all-time highs. This stock can move $20 in an hour or less than that. The previous high was 27.2235 and it's at 27.02 right now. So those are some long picks that I like just in those things. I would be very particular about the market. The one thing that I am watching is the buy. The banks are a big part of the financials are part of the buy. So that's why I prefer watching that index when I'm looking for market things. And again, the buy gap down today. And I think we're going to see that drift off this week. Because other than that, we'd rally over the area from last week high. And I don't think there's enough energy in the market to do that. So I think the buy is going to drift lower this week. Either trade in a range or drift lower. And the things that I like that we were already talking about is Boeing that could gap down one day this week between now and Friday. And if it does, sell off. Once Boeing breaks that level, that support level around 180 is a critical number. Once it breaks through that, that can sell off all the way down to 160 if it wants. So that is something too that I think is lower for the immediate. Well, let me look at the diamond. And then Nike, I think, is the big one out this week. I'll take a look at that. I think that Thursday night, Nike is the big watch for this week.
You know, based on what you did with Carnival, I'm wondering if stocks like Marriott, Hilton, and Starwood Hotels would be of interest to you, because they are similar to the travel situation, and they had a big rally, and then they've come back down, and they're kind of sitting there. I'm wondering if they fit the profile of the Carnival trade.
Let's look at Marriott.
And there's Starwood. You know, sometimes if you're good at one thing, if you think of other stocks that are in the same genre, you can also find other trades just off the one good trade, right?
Yeah, I mean, Marriott, the thing is the cruise lines and the travel versus hotels, like, yeah, I think getting on a cruise ship after all the problems with COVID, I think that's the worst hit of the industry. And then second after that, only one step up above that would be airlines, which are struggling as well. I think that you could have people staying at hotels that can drive to the beaches this summer, and they will stay in hotels, and you have cleaning ladies in the hotels and stuff. So I think hotels are not as deadly as the cruise lines or the airline travel, where you're stuck in a small knit base for you know, hours and hours or days or weeks. But Marriott falling too. I don't know where this Marriott goes though. This Marriott is trying really hard to lift around. I would say that it's a 50-50 for this Marriott. I wouldn't really play that Marriott right now. Marriott is trying to make a comeback. Yeah. I definitely think the cruise lines and let me look at JetBlue.
And American Airlines also, they look like they're about ready to give it up, possibly.
Yeah. A friend of mine works for JetBlue. They normally run like 1,000 flights a day, and they're at 10% capacity. So they're running like 100 flights a day right now instead of 1,000. And I said, do you think you're going to make it? She's worked for them for a long time. She said, it's really bad. I don't know. So that's what I'm saying. I think what's going to happen is once the whole country opens up, once people really are going back out, or even once there's a vaccine, there will be consolidation in some of these industries, whether it's airlines, whether it's cruise lines, and you can even have the hotels where you have some companies picking up and buying some before they end up declaring bankruptcy, and you have some consolidation. But that happens. You could even have that in the retail sector too.
And with the Q2 ending here, they're going to start having to post numbers. And you think the hotels, the cruise lines, and the airlines may give some people some pretty serious sticker shock when they announce their numbers?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, there's no way the numbers could be good. How could the numbers won't be good when these places have been closed and nobody's been going out? The numbers can't be good. But it's kind of like the unemployment numbers. The market ended up rallying many days on these horrible employment numbers because they weren't as bad as they could have been, which is completely insane. But that's one of the reasons I make trading decisions based on price action and technicals, not on fundamentals. Because you say, my God, this is, you know, a 12-13% unemployment rate. That's horrible. People are like, well, at least it's not 25. I mean, you know, you just say, well, so yeah, you're going to have bad numbers and bad reports on many of these hospitality places and the travel. But if they're not as bad as people expect, then they may rally. So it's really, you have to watch and see where the price is of the openings on the date of these reports, because there will be some that do think lower. But some of the numbers might be better than expected. Some of the numbers might be worse than expected. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, Apple sales have been down. down. Now that's not making brand new all-time highs because they're starting to open up doors. Does that mean necessarily they're going to have great earnings? Not necessarily. But again, they may have bad earnings and rally anyways because the earnings may be not as bad as they could have been.
Yeah, I was thinking more from the ones that you were mentioning, like the cruise lines and the airlines and the hotels and the things that obviously, and the rent-a-cars, which all had a nice big spike back up, then have given that back a little bit, and now they're just hanging out. And then, of course, if you put a tidal wave of some really scary numbers on their second quarter earnings, you could have the impetus to go down and maybe test some lows or whatever.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some good trading this summer, just because the market, I feel like, is going to be volatile and range-bound. Like I said, the range could be wide. I don't think we're going to be in the range we were last week all summer. I think we could be in a range, but it could be a wide range. It could be a wide range. The wider the better for more playthrough. But I think if people look for specific stuff to trade, you could have a good summer trading because we are going to get volatility, not just in the market. We're going to get volatility in stocks because all the numbers, like you said, that all the reports are going to come out from the quarter when COVID hit. And again, I think as far as the market's reaction to the unemployment data, it's different. If we have 1.3 claims or whatever, unemployment claims, well, how long is that going to go on? It's not good. It's not good for the economy, and it's not good for overall broader market if you have claims going on like that week after week after week after week after week going into the end of the summer, beginning of the fall. Eventually, you have to get those numbers completely down, which means that the entire country has to open, and the entire country has not opened yet. And that's why I was saying earlier, we're talking about New York. Many of these jobs will come back, but a lot of them will not do.
Right,
they will not. And right now, they're incentivizing people by doing the federal unemployment, that extra $600 that people are getting on top of the thing. If they don't stop that, people aren't going to come back to work. One of the reasons that the protests have been so big is because people are off work. They're going out. They have time. If these people were all back to work, they wouldn't have time to be out in the street.
Or they'll start working under the table or something like that and collect it on both sides.
Right. Well, that always happened too. But, eventually that catches up with people.
Well, Melissa, you really have a very interesting angle here with regards to the gaps. And so I think people should, you should explain to them how they can get a hold of you, and then you can explain your procedures and see how it fits into their toolbox. Because I think this gap idea is very unique and very interesting. So at this point, could you just reintroduce yourself and also Stock Swoosh? And then if you have any special offers you want to give out or something, this is the time to do it.
Sure. Again, people can reach me at just Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, at thestockswoosh.com. And they can call me at 929-3200-GAP. And I teach people how to trade gaps in the market. I teach a class usually once a month. The next class is this coming weekend. And I'm offering the trading room and the options newsletter free until Labor Day for this weekend class. But I always have a class. So if people are interested, they can go to my website at www.thestockswoosh.com. Or if they want to try out for the trading room this week, they can come like they would have gotten the short today in CCL. I do call the trades in live time in the room, and the entry and the stop and the exit and the target. So it's interesting. It's an interesting time to trade. And I think if people don't know what they're doing, then they need to find someone to follow that they can follow, that they know what they're doing and trust, because people can lose money very easily in the market if they don't know what they're doing in these times.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's the information right there on how to email Melissa, and also to call right there as well. So take advantage of that. As far as myself is concerned, I do have a weekly update that I issue, which is free of charge to people that are on the email list. It's optionprofessor@gmail.com, and it goes over everything from stocks, bonds, commodities, etc. So if you'd like to get that once a week, just email your email over to optionprofessor@gmail.com. Hey, Melissa, it was great talking to you. I think everybody learned a lot, but they'll learn a lot more when they get a hold of you. And right now, I'm going to turn it back over to David. Thanks for being with us, Melissa.
Thanks. Stay safe, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, Melissa. Lots of good info today. So just a quick reminder to everyone listening, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to this show as soon as I can get it posted, as well as all the past shows and reports and other events that we've recorded. So I just want to thank my guests again for today, Melissa Armo of thestockswoosh.com, and Jim, the Option Professor at optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.